The all-new season of Futurama is streaming on Hulu.
That's great,
but I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
New episodes Mondays, streaming only on Hulu.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Welcome back to Believe in Softball. I'm your host, Jennifer Sarah. However you got here today, whether it was an audio podcast platform like Apple, Spotify, etc., or watching on YouTube, thank you. Subscribe and rate the show wherever you get your pods if you haven't yet. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter /X at Believe in Softball. That's B-L-E-A-V. And as always, there's also merch. So click the link in our bio on either of those pages or go to shop.believe.com to purchase. 3 different shirts for you, covering our bases, safer out, and catch you soon. All right, let's go through today's batting order. First, we will cover our bases. I'll share some call-outs from around the softball world. Then we'll head into today's interview with Kelly Ford. She just announced her retirement after 30-plus years in coaching and 12 years at Fullerton. And I watched her and her team at the Stanford Regional this past season, and I knew that I wanted to have her on the show even before I knew that she was retiring, because she is really a titan of her industry. Pun intended. See what I did there? Thanks. Then we'll end things with the foul tip of the week, where we share tips to help us get better. All right, let's go. Covering our bases. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC /MMA and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. A new promo for you. Pay attention to that one. 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online, the game starts here. I feel like summer softball starts and ends here with Rip It Sports as well. I've said it once, I'll say it over and over. My Ringer turfs from Rip It are still total game changers, whether I'm on the field or I'm in the press box. And the fact that they have all kinds of stuff, from footwear to equipment, apparel, accessories, and protective gear, it's just all the important stuff you need to play and to train. And they have gear for multiple sports like volleyball and soccer too, which I've been getting into more. I'm calling some of those sports and those matches and games, and it's so fun for me. So I'm excited to see that inclusion too, because the coolest part of their mission is to elevate female athletic performance. They get it that as women and girls, we deserve gear specifically tailored to our needs. Quality fit, elite performance, and uniquely tailored to us. That's what we need, that's what we want, and they have it. And the best news is that Rip It is offering an exclusive 15% discount. Just use the code JENNA15 when you shop at ripit.com. That's JENNA15. Experience the same quality gear that helps so many ladies excel. And we see ladies on the international stage excelling at the highest level in our sport. Internationally, the World Cup is basically here. The Canada Cup is in the books too. A few things leading up to the World Cup that are prepping some of these national teams. Team Canada, the 2024 champions of the Canada Cup, that feels right in a lot of ways. They went undefeated versus teams like Czech, New Zealand, Mexico, the Philippines, Israel, Hong Kong, and Australia. So actually getting to have that kind of competition and build that confidence leading to the World Cup, that's huge for them. And then as mentioned in last week's episode, you know, Arizona's trip to Italy to play against the national team to help them prep for the World Cup. Of course, that's been exciting this summer too. But another one in the books is the USA Elite Team's trip to Japan for the All-Star Series. We've mentioned this on the show before too. It is now complete for this year already. I can't believe it in a lot of ways. But Japan actually swept the US in a three-game series. They beat them 1-0, 9-5, and then 8-1. But I will say, if anything will prep this young USA talent for future international competition, this is it. Meanwhile, the senior women's national team, as we know, they're in Italy. They're kicking off the World Cup July 15th. And I have to say, my friend Amanda Lorenz is living her best life leading up to it. I've seen her do so many cool things over there in Italy with her parents who are visiting, and just what a cool experience even off the softball field too. So I'm excited to see how that plays out, as we all are. And I will say as well that on the professional side of things, there have been some teams and some organizations that have been helping with the preparation for those international teams too. I mean, the OKC Spark specifically has been in the middle of a lot of collaborations. As we talked about before, they played Great Britain in the Royal Spark Challenge. And, you know, they actually went to the UK last year, but this year they hosted them in OKC this time. They played Team USA too, before they and the elite team went off to Italy and Japan respectively to compete this summer. And then now this weekend, OKC Spark and Athletes Unlimited are going to face off before their championship season starts July 26th. So that's helping AU prep as well. Spark players like Jocelyn Allo and Kehlani Ricketts, they've already been able to compete in AUX too. So they had been with the Spark organization for a while, and then they got to already have a bit of a crossover. So this is even more crossover, which is really cool. Because seeing more of the best in the world compete in one place, people are going to sign up for that. Like, we love to see that. A sneak peek a little bit, potentially, we might take a little bit of time to talk about some of these experiences with a future guest as well. So stay tuned there. But just a reminder too, so that you can follow and support all of the different professional softball endeavors, there's three different main pro leagues right now. Of course, Athletes Unlimited, the Women's Pro Fast Pitch, the WPF, which has teams like the Texas Smoke, who won the championship last year, Jayla Wright, who we talked to recently, for example, is on that team. And then the newest league is the Association of Fast Pitch Professionals, so the AFP, and that includes teams like OKC Spark, who's participating this year. But the Spark is actually an independent team in its own entity. So I do want to give a shout out to the owner, Tina Floyd, for being in the middle of a lot of this collaboration, because we talk about growing the game, but I like to be about growing the game as well. And we're seeing some collaboration in a cool and in a little bit different way. At least I am up close in the Golden Bay Collegiate League with all of these different college players coming together to play these games this summer. It's hard to believe that the league is wrapping up here in SoCal, but I do want to give some shout outs just to some players that I've enjoyed covering this summer. A few big end of year awards. There were three that were given out leading up to the championship series that is happening right now. But Austin Comstock out of Bradley, she got player of the year. She's been playing a lot out of her main position, first baseman mainly, but she's been catching again like she used to do before college, and she's been doing really well, and she's hit really well too, and it's been really cool to see her just come into her own. So that was really fun to watch and to cover. Grace Uribe, who obviously we just had on the show as well, going to San Diego State. She's pitcher of the year this year in the GBCL. Took a year off. Redshirted this past season. She's going to be a grad transfer now, as we talked about, but leading the league in both batting average as a hitter and ERA as a pitcher. Pretty impressive. And then Lucy Carney, who's out of Colorado State Pueblo, she's a pitcher as well. She got the Coach's Choice Award, and I loved this because she's one of the most improved by far, definitely from beginning of the season this summer to the end. And she's always doing extra drills. She's very coachable from what the coaches tell me and from what I've seen just from observing. And I just like to see those kinds of efforts recognized. And then also just for some of the athletes who came in this summer, there were five who entered this summer season in the transfer portal already. And now they're finishing out the season in the Golden Bay Collegiate League, which is hard to believe. But they have committed to new programs this summer. That's something that's really exciting to see. Obviously, Gracie Ribe is one of them that we talked to, so we got a little bit of a glimpse into that. But just seeing people find their new homes and be so excited about it, that's something that's also been enjoyable to see this summer. Bottom line, though, I've heard multiple players talk about how much they've enjoyed the experience for not just getting the reps, but also the friendships that they've built and the confidence that they've built, because that is quite literally what this experience is supposed to be all about. So wanted to give shout outs in that regard too, because it's been a nice part to the summer softball scene. Bringing it home too, we are wrapping up. I mentioned the championship series. We're in the middle of it right now as I'm recording this. It's a 3-game series to determine the inaugural champion of the Golden Bay Collegiate League. So the Ducktown Quacks did win game one against the Orange County Crush. I am on the call on Athletes Go Live till the end. You know, again, if you want to follow, it's GBCL is the league. The teams are GB Quacks and GB Crush if you want to tune in. And I'm just excited to crown the first ever champion out here in California. It's even more fun too because we actually have one of Kelly Ford's players from Fullerton competing out here as well. Candace Yingling is on the Quacks. So someone else used to cheering her on is today's guest. Let's head into the interview. She's been a collegiate coach for over 30 years, 6-time Big West champion with 7 NCAA tournaments in 12 seasons at Fullerton, 5-time Big West Coach of the Year, former longtime leader at the legendary Mount SAC Junior College, and Oklahoma alum Kelly Ford. Thank you for joining, Coach. I'm thrilled to be chatting with you.
This is awesome. Thanks for having me on.
On so many things that I could ask you right away, but just start with, how are you feeling after a very successful 2024 season and now a newly announced retirement?
Oh, it feels really exciting. I will tell you what probably feels best is to not be in Colorado right now in all of the recruiting craziness. So I'm just excited about my next chapter and just in reflection, just feel so lucky to have the job that I had for several years.
Yes, and we'll definitely want to get into your next chapter, but I also want to reflect on this past chapter with you. And for me, I actually got to see you all play in person more than once this year, actually at the Mary Nutter Tournament, as well as most recently at the Stanford Regional at the end of the season. And I really enjoyed just getting a chance to hear some of your insight in the post-game press conferences as well, and just your thoughts on the program and on the team. What do you think came together so well in this last year for you at Fullerton?
We had great senior leadership, and to really let them dig in and show the underclassmen the way was absolutely, you know, how we ended so well. I know we didn't get through that region, but we absolutely played with freedom. And that was our goal that weekend, to just get out there and compete. And so I was really proud of them.
It was fun to watch. I mean, you're coming off a Big West championship again, but then you push it to the brink. You went as far as possible going to the regional final. And I was very much enjoying just watching the grittiness of the team. And I feel like that's been a theme with Fullerton as a program too. Where do you think that grittiness comes from?
Well, I tell you what, I think as long as we've got swings, we still have a shot. And the athletes believe that too. You know, this game can be crazy. And I think that's kind of our theme, is as long as there's time on the clock, we got a shot. And when you believe that, just magic can happen.
I liked the approach that came up to one of your players mentioned you always having a number one on the back of your clipboard when you're coaching over at first base, yeah. and you'd hold it up for them as a reminder. Can you share now with the wider audience what that was all about?
Yeah. And there's not a coach in the country that probably doesn't use that in, you know, some form or another with just playing the game one pitch at a time. That's really where the theme comes from. And just reminding them with the one on my clipboard, instead of calling out all these numbers or giving a signal, that all they need to do is simplify it by just competing one pitch and go after and win this pitch. So, you know, it's not rocket science, but it's just a way to simplify the game when things start moving fast. And I really think that's my job more than at that time of the season, talking about a skill set or devising strategy. It's just keeping the game simple for them. That's my number one job going into playoffs.
And you talked about that multiple times. That resonated with me definitely, because even just saying that, I feel like simplifies what you're trying to do as a coach, as well as obviously simplifying everything for them as players, which you're right is not always easy to do when there's as much going on as there is, especially in the postseason. So I was just very impressed by the presence that your team had.
Yeah, thank you. It did. It felt like we've been here, done this, you know, and we talked a lot about just jumping on the backs of our seniors, and they stayed calm. And I felt like, you know, we had some really fantastic performances, and it was so good for the underclassmen to see how the seniors, you know, performed on the big stage.
Yes. You never out-hit in all five games that you played in the regional. I think you tied Stanford once at the end, but never were you out-hit, which yeah. I also was like, that's impressive.
Yeah, thank you. I know if you look at the stat lines, we should have been at super regionals, but that's not, you know, the final is just the run stat line, and Stanford, you know, did a great job. I think they really rallied there in the championship game and found a way, and it wasn't easy for them either, but, you know, they found a way to capitalize on some mistakes we made, and that's what great teams do. So they did it, and obviously they were at the College World Series.
I think though, as a coach, it must have been rewarding to see some of these big moments, and that's throughout your entire career. But one example this past season, what I thought was so cool is, again, in the post-game press conference, you presented Colby McClinton with her grand slam ball that she had at the regional. What is the meaning to you of kind of being able to be a part of these big moments for these athletes?
Yeah. You know, of course, this game isn't just about stats, and it is about those moments you get to share and truthfully live vicariously through them. And so when she hit that, you know, you feel it, you breathe it, you know, and I wanted to celebrate it with her because that was a big moment. It was a big moment for a newcomer on this stage to step up and, you know, hit a grand slam. It's great for anybody, but it's really special when it's her first at the Division I level.
Yeah, it was really special to witness even just that moment between you two. And she's the one who brought up the one pitch warrior mindset as well, yeah. and let us in on that kind of secret, if you will, that you had as a team. So that was seeing it though in action, not just because of the outcome and the result, but just her talking about her mindset and being comfortable in the box, I think was a result of that sort of thing. So that was a really cool thing to see.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. She's a special young lady and had a tremendous tournament, and she's one that did transfer in from NAIA and really wanted to challenge herself and see if she could make it on the Division I stage. And, you know, she had highs and lows and rode a roller coaster, but ended up in the end. I hope she walks away and go, yep, I can play at this level. I can compete at this level. I can lead at this level. She's capable of quite a bit more than we even got to see.
That's another thing that I think has been very cool and interesting about your career is the different levels that you've both played at as well as coached at, which I definitely want to get into. But the fact that Fullerton itself, too, as a program, one of only two non-power conference programs to win a national championship. That is a big deal, in my opinion. But to see it transcend through the decades, just that sort of commitment, I feel like that's something that even playing against Fullerton when I was in college, I always felt like I saw this level of commitment. Where do you think that foundation comes from?
Well, I'll tell you what, I could not be, you know, happier with the commitment from our athletic department. And then one step above, you know, our president, our vice president of student affairs that athletics reports to, they've just always showed up for us. You know, and most recently, building this wonderful facility, this brand new office I'm sitting in. I look out my window, there's this beautiful deck overlooking the softball field. All of our coaches have new offices below us, new locker rooms, game room, video analysis room. I mean, it just shows the support. You want to work hard for this administration because they show up for you. I look in the stands, I see the president and his wife, you know, sitting there in the stands with their dogs, watching the game. I will see on any given day, you know, we are, of course, our athletic director, my supervisor, they're up on the patio watching all the games. They don't just show up on paper. They show up in person and you feel it. You feel the importance of this sport here. And that started with Judy Garman, you know, and, you know, paving the way and fighting the battles. And it ain't always easy. I've had to, like every coach, battle as well. And you just, once you're told no, you got to step back and go, let's find a way, you know? And I think that's what our administration here has been really, really, I appreciate. They find a way, you know? And when Judy Garman pass the torch to Michelle Grimacki, the same thing. She was battling on the field, battling behind the scenes, just to continue to raise the standards and get more for our student athletes. And that was just a real passion of mine. I was lucky enough to actually be Judy Garman's second assistant while Michelle Grimacki was a first assistant. Then when she elevated, she took me with her. So it was pretty special that I have worked with both head coaches, and just there's a huge sense of Titan pride is real, but I wanted to make Judy and Michelle just proud of what we were doing on the field and feel, I want them to come back, and they do, and they do, and they both still come with a list of things we need to, you know, get better at, whether it's, you know, base running or you know, making substitutions or making sure that that concession stand is up and running for every inning. You know, it's really, I love it. I love it. When they come down to the dugout after a game, I know they're bringing a list with them. So it's pretty, pretty awesome.
When you just named, including yourself, it's like there are three head coaches in Fullerton softball history, and you're all connected, as you just mentioned too. That type of tradition is really, you can't really replicate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very special that the administration has just shown the commitment, and, you know, the longevity, it pays off. It pays off. And I have shared this for all three of us. We've gone through those, you know, valleys, and they stand by our side and help us see the way out. Where I think some administrations are quick to pull the trigger and move on to a new coaching staff. We feel that. And I think it's just important that as a coach, you know, you're going to be supported through the highs and lows because every coach is going to go through those.
It says a lot about the athletic department, the institution as well, that you were a boomerang, as I like to say, because you were an assistant. You went on to be a head coach and you came back.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I was about to ask you, what made you want to come back? I feel like you kind of laid it out for us about all the support that you've had.
Yeah, I was at, like you said, the community college for 11 seasons, and I had opportunities, and, you know, things were presented, and the community college in California is pretty special. The kind of word on the street is once you get a job, you don't leave it. You retire because it's a really great situation. But I knew there was one job I would go after if it opened up. And when it did, you know, truthfully, I got a call from Michelle Grimacki, and she said, you better apply. Because, you know, I wasn't sure, is that going to be awkward? I definitely wanted her support. But when she made that call to me, I mean, I think I put my resume in 10 minutes later. Because of that support and the impression that I got when I was an assistant coach of, you know, being a priority here on campus, and so many things have changed since I was an assistant coach. I actually remember, I'm looking out at the field right now because the home plate was in right field. Mm. They rebuilt the entire facility, the stands, the press box. And then they've just kept moving forward with the facilities to keep up with the times.
Well, it's been your facility, even as it's continued to be upgraded really over the years, but your facility at Fullerton is part of my collegiate experience as a Stanford alum, just because we basically went to the Judy Garman tournament every mm-hmm. year, you know, and I'm from Southern California. So my family would come out, you know, and watch, and extended family too. And so that I always bring up the Judy Garman tournament every yeah. single year when covering the sport too. Cause of course we have the Clearwaters, the Mary Nutters, but Judy Garman tournament is a cornerstone yeah. of college softball.
And it's the largest tournament on a college campus. You know, we have two collegiate fields. That's yeah. just extraordinary. And I think that it deserves to be mentioned with the Mary Nutter, the Clearwater. It's like you start the season and then, yeah, the Judy Garman's always the fourth weekend of play.
Yep.
And it is, you know, a lot of those teams, like, you know this, the players are from Southern California. So the coaches want to bring them here. We've got great weather. We've got a great facility. And some of those Power Fives, and I'm not saying this is good. I'm not saying it's bad, but they're picky with where they allow their teams to play. And they all want to come to that Judy Garman tournament if their weekend's open. So it's pretty prestigious to be a part of. And really, I've tried to just do my best, obviously, to keep making improvements there and listen to the coach's response. And we have one of our alumni, Deb Hartwig, that runs the tournament, that is always bringing new ideas. And she runs the Mary Nutter as well. So we steal ideas from that and bring it over here to the Judy Garman.
You're right, though. That's a great point. The fact that it's actually on your campus, because yeah. Clearwater and Mary Nutter, while wonderful, are at these yeah. big complexes, and it's just a different type of logistical event. It's so impressive that you can do this on your campus.
Yeah, yeah, we typically have 12 teams, and you know, we like to at least half of them Power Fives, and then I like to try to elevate the, you know, mid-majors, and us to, you know, give a chance to get our RPI up. And, you know, that's a whole nother strategic puzzle right there. But the Judy Garman has really helped us with RPI.
Well, yeah. And to your point, I think part of the reason some of these Power Fives and, you know, just teams in general want to play at Judy Garman is because of that level of competition.
Yeah.
It's tough. Like, people are going to take some losses there, right? But the fact that you're getting that battle tested that early in the season, like, I've seen, I feel like teams have those moments end up paying off for them later on, which is the whole point, right, of all of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's any of those, like the Clearwater, the Mary Nutter, the Judy Garman, if you come out of there 500, I don't care what team you are or better, that's a win. And that's huge.
Yeah.
So that's, again, just my job is to keep the, you know, the RPI, the prestige of the Judy Garman, to keep all the top teams wanting to come back. But because obviously, who does it benefit? Us. We get to play these teams and help our own RPI. So, you know, there's a little selfishness to it. But I love, you know, the crowds, and honestly, I love when baseball has a 3-game series and we're playing the Judy Garman. It's like a baseball softball carnival, because you can look on either side of the seating and see this great competition. And we a lot of times steal baseball fans when the Judy Garman's going on and baseball has a series. They go, "What's going on over there? Whoa, that is awesome." So
I was about to bring up the baseball program, because when I think of Fullerton, like I said, I think of commitment, I think of tradition when it comes to softball, but I think of that in terms of baseball too. So to have those two right there on campus like that for our bat and ball sports, you know, that we love so much, that must be very special as well.
Yeah. Cal State Omaha, you know, that's what baseball is known as. And there's really a great, we both feel the commitment. They got a brand new facility as well in their offices and locker room. We used to be combined in this building over here that was half the size. They added on, renovated, and gave this all to softball while building baseball a whole new facility in their left field. It's spectacular. Offices, meeting rooms on the top, locker room on the bottom, very similar. But again, like you said, it just shows the commitment. But it's pretty spectacular to walk up every day and see, you know, the 4 national championships that baseball's garnered. We have a great working relationship, and I want them to succeed. They want us to succeed, and the support there is real.
Yeah. Without aging myself, before some of these renovations, I think we used to warm up in the baseball cages sometimes at Judy Garman and things. Yeah. And it always felt very connected, to your point.
Yeah. Right next to us, and there, especially if there was rain, but like, again, that's a working relationship that we've established that, you know, when we have our big tournament, they give us all the support that we need for it. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. How do you think it's possible for two programs like Fullerton baseball and softball to maintain that kind of tradition, that foundation, while also evolving over the years? It's such a tough balance to strike sometimes.
Yeah. I think we have to just keep pushing the envelope. We can just never be satisfied. And respectfully to all the programs in our Big West Conference, like, we have to keep pushing. We have to keep bringing ideas back from these Power Fives. Oh, this is what they're doing. Let's try this. You know, just in little things, our cages, in adding turf, in adding, you know, just things that, I'll just say it, the big dogs are doing. We have to keep up with the times, not settle with being, you know, the best in the Big West. Mm-hmm. We have to continue to schedule the top, to go and play at these amazing facilities. And again, bring back those ideas. It doesn't mean our administration is going to say, "Oh yeah, let's do it." But if my administration is super supportive, if they cannot do it, they say, "Go ahead, Kelly, just fundraise for it." So what did we do? We got our pitch clocks. We got our, you know, where we're just, they give us that ability to go get it done ourselves. And I couldn't ask for more there, but that's our responsibility. You know, Dietz and I, that's our responsibility, is to keep elevating the program and to keep asking and to keep pushing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, right? But it's harder to put into practice, you know, to actually do those things, because it is like an iron sharpens iron situation. Everybody's up leveled as much as everyone continues to get better. That's going to force everyone else to, right? But to actually be willing to do that and actually go for it is another thing. And not everyone does that. I also think that makes Fullerton what it is as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I always kind of giggle because, I think the perception from programs in our conference is, "Oh, you guys get everything." Mm. I just kind of laugh. I'm like, we got to fundraise just like everybody else for the bells and whistles. And we just choose to do it. I, again, it just goes back to the support of our administration on that and kind of the let's find a way mentality versus nope, can't afford it.
Yeah. So I can see that type of mentality obviously trickle into the type of athletes and just the community as a whole, but the athletes who you end up recruiting to become a part of the Titan family. Like, for example, I had Hannah Becerra on the show. We are not related, but we pretend to be for the record.
Yeah, love it.
So many people have asked me like, oh, is that your cousin? And I'm like, no, I mean, might as well be at this point, but no, we're not technically, but always fun to cheer her on. But I remember talking with her at the time and she had said the mentality that the team had had was, you know, nobody sleep on us because like, we'll take it from you and we'll show no mercy about it. And I was like, oh, all right. You know, that's like very, I don't know, those are strong words, but then I feel like I do see the action behind it with how you all play as well.
Yeah, I think when I first started here, we did used to get the number three pitcher or number four pitcher on staff. And I think, like Hannah said, we took it from them. And so, but you get what you asked for. Now we get the number one. So, and it's that first, those first 5 weekends for us, because we want to challenge our players and prepare them for postseason. We got to play a grueling pre-conference schedule. Yeah. I mean, top team after top team after top team. You can't, because our conference typically, and I hope it changes, has had one team go. We've had sprinkles of two teams go to postseason. You can't really even take a break and try a new lineup. Or let's let so-and-so start and see how she does, because every game is so important. Our goal is to put us in position with our pre-conference schedule that if we don't win conference, you know, to still get a bid. We did that last year, but man, it was tough. Yeah. We were, if you just look at our schedule, I think it was, we played a 16 power fives or 18, something like that. But then not only playing them, you got to beat them too.
Right.
So, and not all of them, because that's not probably realistic, but you got to show up. And that's what I talk to all our recruits about is how challenging the schedule is going to be. Yeah. And I'll just say this, and I know that it has, it's part of why we've been so successful is we recruit too deep. We like to inter squad scrimmage. We like to keep stats in those like midweek when we're in conference, we'll play a full on scrimmage, keep our stats in the fall. We're doubling our competition schedule because we want to inter squad scrimmage. So that's been kind of a secret weapon for us. And I really think this year we had our team believe in, because we believed it, that we were playing the number one team was playing the number two team in our conference every time we scrimmaged.
That's a great point. And nothing replaces game reps, right? I mean, of course you have to do all the fundamental drills and all of those types of things, but to have that competition experience under your belt, like nothing can quite replace that.
Yeah. I make sure I communicate with our recruits that you are not going to be promised a position. And I'm sure coaches do, every coach does this, but you're going to be promised the opportunity to compete and make sure you can handle that. And it's not easy for everybody, because we're not recruiting anybody that we don't want to make an immediate impact. But we've had some, incredible players not getting the game time that they really should, but they have elevated our program just by competing every single day. And at the end of the day, that's my job. And I tell our coaching staff that we've got to go out there and recruit better than what we have. Mm-hmm. And we tell the players that, which is hard to hear, but until we get to that number one spot, that's what Jim Donovan, our athletic director, has trained me to do.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is it. The legendary live band, Phish, returns to the road this summer. Phish. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Ruoff Music Center. On sale now at LiveNation.com. Part of the Coors Light Concert Series.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Well, I feel like I got to see that competitive mindset too after I had spoken with Hannah, for example. This year, like I said, I saw you guys at Mary Nutter. I saw you beat Tennessee early in the season. You know, I watched that game. And those are the types of things that, like you're saying, like those are just moments that you're trying to kind of stack so that you can be in the best position possible. But like those are the types of things that come from the decisions and the hard work that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the Mary Nutter tournament too.
Yeah.
Just crazy. And we know going into that, it's like, who are we going to upset? And that's what got them, you know, thinking, who's it going to be? And, you know, that was one of those moments that was pretty special to be a part of. But then what did we have to do? Come right back and play Mizzou. Came down to one inning and dropped that, you know, game. But it was just as, you know, competitive and just as awesome. But you know, that's why we go to that tournament and create those moments or those opportunities in pre-conference scheduling.
Yeah. Do you feel like the Fullerton softball community as a whole, so alums, current players and staff, everybody comes together? Do you feel like that's unique the way that they do?
I do, because we're lucky enough to have our alumni. A lot of them live within a couple hours of Cal State Fullerton. And we recruit primarily from California because of, you know, PGF, the tournaments that, you know, we can take off and go recruit 30 minutes from our campus, come back, sleep in our own bed, you know, where other teams have to travel across the country to go recruiting. But I say that because we will go out of state and we do have the funding to go out of state, but we don't have the need. So many of our alumni return to home, whether it's from San Diego to Sacramento, but they'll show up. They'll show up to our events. They'll show up to that Long Beach weekend. They'll show up to the Judy Garman It's really fantastic. So and then this is a huge softball community with the youth leagues. It just, you know, when we have youth nights, it's electric. They love it. Our players love it. We really talk a lot about giving back to the sport. And so when they show up, even though we're getting done with our game at 11:30 at night, and those kids are lined up down the stairs to get autographs, our players, you know, bring it on. I love that. And, you know, this is a softball baseball community, and they show up, and I'm so thankful that our alumni want to come back.
Yeah. And man, it's about so much more than just what's going on the field. And I feel like I witnessed them coming together as well with Taylor Dawkins recently. And first of all, I just want to say, I'm so sorry for your loss and for our loss as a softball community, but I was very inspired by the way that people came together to celebrate her, especially in particular, the Fullerton community.
Yeah. What was so unique, you know, and obviously I was attended her celebration of life and got to speak at that event, which was, you know, so special. And it is, I've never lost a player, you know, as a head coach like that. And it was her parents, I just go right to them. They just lifted me up and lifted everybody in that church up. And Taylor knew how to celebrate her life when she was living. And that is what, you know, one of the Taylor lessons I'm taking with me. Don't wait for the celebration of life till, you know, I'm gone. For her, she celebrated while she was here. And to be a part of that was just magical, to see how she, you know, battled cancer, and to see how she lived her life was just a gift for me and all that, you know, our program. And I think she single-handedly, more than any other player, changed the culture. Because she showed our program and her teammates and her coaches to not take one day for granted. And that is the gift that she left on our program. And I just remember when she was battling and our players would, you know, things that would come up, you know, team drama or things, they would just look at it differently. Like, that doesn't even matter. Boy, think about what Taylor's going through, and this really competitive picture is on our locker room door as you go in and go out. And, you know, I think it makes a difference seeing her every single day. You know, I think our uniform's going to go on differently, just more of a sense of pride. And again, back to just live like Tay. Got my little wristband. And I've got so many requests. One's Taylor Strong. And after she passed, they made wristbands that said live like Tay. And so
take that. Yeah. Not just play like Tay, live like Tay.
Yeah. Live like Tay.
Yeah. I loved what you said in your statement as well, when you said, she was one of the most fierce Titans to ever wear the uniform and fought cancer the way she played the game.
Yeah.
Such a, just beautifully said, first of all, and such a great way to just remember somebody who was, sounds like from everything that everyone has said, including you, an amazing person, but what a representation, to your point, of Fullerton. Like, is there anything else you'd want from a Titan?
I don't know. That young lady, she was being recruited by, you know, everybody and their mother. And we were thrilled when she committed to us. And we knew that Cal State Fullerton softball took a turn right then and there, you know, for the better. That changed everything. So many people followed her. Now all of a sudden, oh, Taylor's going to Cal State Fullerton. Huh. I want to consider it. I want to play with Tay. You know, it really shifted so much. By far the most accoladed player, you know, or had the most awards, you know, decorated player is the word I meant, that we had ever gotten a commitment from. You know, I don't think you could have got more awards than Taylor. And for her to pick Cal State Fullerton really put us on the map again.
That's impact just all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing a little bit of her story and the impact on the program. I feel like I would have been remiss to not bring her up because of the impact, as you said, that she's made and how big of a part she's played in even your time at Fullerton.
Thank you. Thank you. This is one I'm, you know, this photo right here sitting on my desk, but I have that in my phone. And when people were texting me, after she passed, I would just send them that picture and say, keep this in your photos when you're having one of those days. Look at Taylor, and I'm telling you, it works. She lifts you right up out of the valley and perspective, gives you perspective. So,
yeah. What do you think are the biggest things you've learned throughout your career from moments like this and just all the moments in between since you've been as a coach that have given you the biggest and the most perspective?
Don't be afraid to encourage laughter. I think if you can laugh and cry with your teammates and players and show vulnerability, that's powerful. I have always tried to, you know, be that serious coach, and it doesn't quite work for me. So I go back to being the goofball and just being real. I think, again, just facilitating laughter is I think part of our championship culture here, whether it's with your coaches and with your players. We like to have fun. So I hope the next coach doesn't lose sight of that. I think I additionally realized that, yeah, skill set and teaching that backhand or teaching how to hit a curveball is important, 100%. But if their well isn't full, I don't care how great of a coach you are, you're not going to be able to make those improvements with them or coach them. So I think it's always my job is to create an environment where they can build that confidence so they can be coached. That doesn't mean blowing smoke and always being, you know, positive Pollyanna. It just means creating an environment where they can build their confidence. And that's something that I've really prided myself on. And then I think surrounding yourself with great people. You know, I think early on in my career, I was so focused on, oh, I got to have a pitching coach. I got to have a hitting coach. I got to have a fielding coach. And I realized, you know what? I need to just surround myself with character people. And I've been so fortunate through the years to just, you know, I can go on and on about my assistant coaches and the importance. And I think one of the characteristics of, you know, looking back on all of my assistant coaches is that they have been good people. They have been people that I would have wanted my daughter to play for. Mm. And that's, you know, really, really was important to me in recruiting a staff, just a staff that of course elevates me as a coach. Like right now, I think the three coaches on my staff, any one of them could be the head coach here. I really believe that. And so when you surround yourself with people better than you and allow them to do their thing, let go of the micromanage, again, a characteristic that I probably held on to as a younger head coach. You know, you feel like you got to have your hand in everything. Let it go. Let your assistant coaches coach. So those are a few things that come to mind.
Do you think that's the key to longevity, the people?
Oh, for sure. For sure. feeling good about spending, you know, you're spending more time with your coaching staff than you do your family. So you better make sure it's people that elevate you and that you're able to delegate or let them, again, do their thing. I remember as an assistant coach, that was the worst feeling in the world when I was micromanaged, you know, when my head coach would just let me kind of do my thing. That's where I really evolved. Because that, you know, when you're just hire capable people, hire good people and let them do their thing.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you've done that too. I mean, you mentioned earlier all the different levels of softball as well. When we were talking about Colby, for example, and I said, I wanted to get into that with you because you have such a unique perspective.
Okay.
But having done that, not only at Fullerton, but of course at Mount SAC, which I referred to as a legendary junior college earlier, because that's how I view it, you know, especially with your tenure there for 11 years. I mean, I'll give some accolades so that people truly understand, but you had an over 800 winning percentage, 4-time state champs, 7-time conference champions, 5-time South Coast Conference Coach of the Year. But then maybe even better than that, you sent 94% or over 90 players of yours to four-year universities to finish their degrees and keep competing.
Yeah.
What do you think it was about that environment that you were able to do that with those athletes?
I think coming from Division I, so I kind of divide my career into thirds. A third, I was a Division I assistant coach. A third, you know, minors plus some years, head coach at a community college. And a third head coach Division I. Yep. So my Division I assistant coach experience, I took it right into Mount SAC. And yep. I didn't know any better, but I wasn't going to change what I did over here. You know, if anything, as a head coach, I will tell you a funny story. I remember Judy Garman telling me this. Yeah, when you're an assistant coach, you know everything. Then you get into that third base coaching box and you don't know a thing. Like, how many outs? What's the situation? That's exactly what happened. You, as an assistant coach, you're like, oh, I'm ready. I would have done this. I would have done that. Or why is this not? And then you get over there, you're like, whoa, there's a lot happening. But anyway, that transition, I just took exactly what my experience was at Cal State Fullerton and Cal State Northridge and Oklahoma, took it right into the, you know, community college environment. And myself, I was a community college athlete at Central Arizona, and I played for Clint Myers there, and we won national championships. And it was just like that kind of mentality. You just do what you do at the four-year level, but you're only here for 2 years. That's it. And so I just recruited athletes that wanted to go on because I didn't want half of my roster just playing for fun and the other half playing for, you know, a scholarship and to go on. So I made sure that was one common denominator with all the athletes that I recruited. Again, brought in great coaches, just created a lot of super competitive scheduling in the fall, only trying to play only Division I teams, getting them seen. You know, we got it handed to us many times, but we'd always come out on the other side. In the spring, we would be prepared. And it was all about scheduling. And so I just kind of took that Division I mentality, took it right into Mount SAC. And it was kind of ironic that we also got a new stadium at Mount SAC during my tenure there. So that changes a lot. But I know there's several players that will never forget playing at that public park in West Covina and having to take, you know, our Gatorade bottles over there in the back of my car, having to set up that PVC fence every day, take it down every day. So with that beautiful stadium that they built came some, you know, came yeah. some struggles or some obstacles, but you just power through it.
Yeah. How do you think playing at the different levels has helped you coach at the different levels?
Just awareness, like the game is the same. Yeah. You know, it really is. And I know, I remember playing at Central Arizona for coach that we would beat a lot of Division I teams. We expected it. And it was just because of our preparation and because of our mindset, you know, we expected to. Yep. So we did. If you kind of set it up, like I remember this when I first came back to Cal State Fullerton as a head coach, I thought, oh man, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to get these super focused athletes and they're going to be up here with their mindset and just ready. It took some rebuilding. And it's just real. I had to start at confidence like I did at Mount SAC. I had to start with their mindset and not focusing on the jersey in the other dugout, but what they were capable of. I think that surprised me a little bit. And that took, again, some fostering of the culture to just raise the expectation of themselves.
Yeah, it's interesting how you said it, though. The game is the same. So you do start in the same place. Like everybody needs a foundation, regardless of what the details are around that. Yeah. Everyone needs that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there's change or there's differences in experiences maybe coming in to the season as far as, you know, travel ball and it seemed like I had a lot more distractions with the athletes at the community college. They had a lot more going on outside, where in the Division I arena, it's like they were just geared to get that four-year degree, to play Division I softball, to be able to have school and compete, on the field. Doesn't mean they don't have other distractions, but it seemed like at community college, there was a lot more. A lot of them were expected to, you know, have jobs, or we didn't have dorms. So that throws a whole another curveball. They miss out on that, you know, that freshman and sophomore housing experience, which, you know, and I know is invaluable. Well, here at Cal State Fullerton, of course, they're all under one roof as a freshman. They get to grow together, and they're the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, they have to go back to their home when I was at Mount SAC, and they would, you know, have, that's a whole nother level of their responsibilities at home and expectations. And that seemed to be more of a battle or a challenge. But then also when they made it through, the payoff was just unbelievable when they would go on their way to that 4-year school and most of the time move away from home. It was such a triumph.
What do you think the quote unquote payoff is as a coach? Not that you're in it for a payoff, but more so like, what is the most rewarding part of being a coach for those types of athletes?
You know, I think when they come back, I think when you get invited to a wedding, I think when you get sent that baby picture, you know, those things really mean a lot to me. And that's the payoff. Of course, they're graduating, and of course, seeing them just flourish as a human being, seeing them get through life without softball attached to them, that's really amazing. You know, I have a couple little letters here, like these, you know, these little handwritten letters. I just cherish those things. So yeah, a little bit corny there, but that's the answer.
Sometimes corny is the truth, though, right?
Yeah.
Just because it's corny doesn't mean it's not authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. Those personal relationships mean a lot to me, and I wish everybody left and graduated happy as could be. Yes. But, you know, I will tell you that the athletes that you know are unsettled or are not happy with their role, those are the athletes that typically kept me up at night, or I always have a concern about And that's the part of the business that is very challenging for me, because I naturally want everybody to be accept their role and to be happy with just contributing. But when you recruit competitors, their love language is innings. And that's hard to carry a competitive full squad and have everybody feeling like they are truly contributing. I know they are, but again, show me the money, coach. Where are my innings? I want to start. I get it. It's hard. And I wish I had a magic wand with innings and, but.
Well, yeah, wouldn't that be easier? But I think with what you have done, with what you've accomplished, it's been really fun to just watch your career throughout it all. And as you now enter into this retirement phase, what is the legacy or the impact that you hope that you've left as a coach?
I want to leave, a legacy of playing with passion. And I just can't help but think of Taylor again. Like, yes, this is what legacy would I like to leave, but I learned it from a player. Just, you know, leave it all out on the field and live life while you're living. And don't be afraid to take chances or take on big challenges. Just go for it. And my players at all levels know my saying is handle it. It's just when you have a struggle in front of you, face it head on, go handle it. You're having a problem with your parents, go handle it with a professor. So, you know, I would say just take that. I'll often get texts from alumni, you know, you handled it, coach. Or so I love that. I love that, I hear that, I guess I'm repeating that. So I would love to continue that. I know one of our other little, messages that we repeat over and over when something, you know, when the game kicks you in the gut, our response is good. You know, there's an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to get through it. There's the good is on the other side of getting kicked in the gut. So, I love when the players repeat that kind of stuff.
Handle it. That is words to live by, literally. Yes. Yeah. And I do think I remember Hannah telling me that as well.
Probably.
Yep.
She's one that always, you know, so she's one that always makes fun of me, you know, and there's not a day that went by that she didn't come to me with a question. And we just had a running joke like, all right, you got another question for me, Hannah? She'd walk in, coach. But I hope, you know, yeah, in the end, she takes that the jokes and takes them into life. Like, she has a tough situation to just go handle it.
Yeah. I certainly think about softball all the time when something tough is going on. I'm like, well, I got through that, so I can get through this, right? It's right? It is definitely that touchstone for so many of us.
Yeah.
But I would ask you too, before we wrap up, what is next for you now?
I am, let's see. Okay, so I think my last day is officially September 16th, but I have some vacation time that I got to use finally after all these years. So I'm moving back to the Pacific Northwest, which is where I was born and raised. And I want to get back to being close to my parents, all my family, my sister in particular, and her husband, and my niece and nephew live on the San Juan Islands on Friday Harbor, and that's where I'm headed. So anybody out that way in the softball world, come visit the island. And I think there's, let's see. Oh, there are two softball fields. No, three, counting the two slow pitch fields. So we'll see. I don't know. You might see me out there on the island. You might see me doing something completely different. And the truth is, people have asked me, what are your plans? And I say, I don't have any. So I'm just going to, you know, let my daughter and I get settled, really get her in a comfortable place, because moving is hard on teenagers. It is hard. She has been mad at me for quite some time. So I want to get her there and get her settled, and then, yeah, just be open, and I'll get back to work for sure. But I don't know in what capacity yet, and I'm kind of enjoying that.
No plans, sometimes the best plans. I'm definitely wishing you and your daughter the best, and your whole family too. I love that you'll be close to them. That's really exciting.
Thank you.
Well, to wrap up, even though I could talk to you all day, I do play a quick game with everybody who comes on the show. It's called Safer Out. And basically, I'll bring up a topic. If you like it, you agree with it, you call it safe. If not, then you call it out.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one is the term mid-major. Safe or out?
Interesting. Safe.
Okay. What's your thought process behind it?
You know, I like being the top of the mid-major.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we are. And so when I hear that, I think that I connect it to football, obviously. Mm. So since we don't have football, I consider us a mid-major. But I don't think anything's negative with that. I just think I like being at the top.
Well, and I feel like the mentality that we've talked about that the girls have too, like Hannah said, it's like, we'll take it from you. We don't really care, about what label we have. We don't care. Yeah.
Get on the field and it's, you start even, doesn't matter what your division is or whatever, you know, that you have football, you don't have football. Why is that going to affect this softball game going on?
Exactly. All right. That was the first one. Second one is conference realignment. Safe or out?
Out. What a bummer.
It's tough out here on the West Coast, especially.
Yeah. And I only say that because obviously focused on the Pac-12 and the changes they went through, and it seems like such a tradition. But to be honest with you, I think it makes the Big West all that more inviting for student athletes that want to play in front of their families, that it's important for their parents and aunts and uncles to be able to attend their game and participate in their college career. So I think it helped the Big West.
That's true. Football-wise. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That does. So last one is bat flips. Safer out.
Safe. Go for it. Go for it. I mean, I love it. I love it. What do I care? You know, if I think it's just being respectful to the game, you take one deep, flip it on your way.
Well, you said your legacy and what you think you left and what you hope you left is passion.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that does relate. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. I think, you know, it only gets kind of tacky if you direct it at a certain person, but if you're celebrating with your team, and, you know, I love it. I don't think anything's wrong with it.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That is fair. Well, thank you, Coach. This was great. I knew it would be, but I'm really glad that we got to chat and reflect on your career. We could talk forever about reflecting on your career because you've been in the game and been making an impact for so long, but it was nice to get this time with you. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And it was a lot of fun.
I'm just really glad I got to touch base with Kelly. Like I said, I knew that I wanted to when I heard her and saw her at regionals. And now it's just even more insightful to reflect on her career at this transition point into retirement after decades that she has spent on the field. So big thanks to her for what she's done for the game and the ripple effects that are still going to continue. With that, let's transition to the foul tip of the week. This week's foul tip is about saying yes. This is another theme that's come up a little bit this summer, the power of saying yes. And I want to start by clarifying that I don't mean say yes to everything at all. That is not what I'm getting at. Not everything serves us. And in today's society, I actually think we don't say no enough when it comes to some things like that.
But what I'm talking about is saying yes to the things that can serve us. When the only reasons you're thinking about saying no are out of fear, a lack of confidence, being afraid to maybe be a little bit uncomfortable, when those are the reasons and the things that are holding you back, it's about understanding what's holding you back. Is it something that's going to drain you and put your well-being at risk? Okay, the right answer could be no in that situation. I'm not saying you should say yes to the stress, right? Like, that is not necessarily what I mean. But in another situation, is it a good opportunity, but the challenge is a little bit scary? Obviously, failure is always possible. In that case, the right answer might be yes. You know, don't say no because you're afraid to take a blow, right? The punch back might be exactly what you need from that experience. Kelly Ford said yes to the Fullerton job, right? She talked about how the responsibility and accountability of a head coach, especially at the D1 level, is a big jump. It's a little bit different. You think you know everything as an assistant, right? But when you actually get into those shoes, it's a challenge. But she said yes. Look at her now. And the coaches and the players in the Golden Bay Collegiate League this summer have said similar things too. They're just grateful that they said yes to this opportunity. And I even got to hang out and catch up with one of my college teammates and a friend of the show, second ever guest on this podcast, Ashley Hansen. And we talked about how we're adopting this mindset, embracing it a little bit more right now in life. And it could be something small. You know, she recently said yes to helping her kids sell popsicles in the neighborhood, right? Just so they could like learn and have fun. And not saying no to something like that because, oh, it's a lot of work, or like no one's going to buy any. Like, just let it play out. Let it be, right? She said yes. Regret often comes from the things we didn't do versus what we did. But you also can't do it all. So it just does come down to being decisive. Every time you say yes, you're saying no to something else because you've committed to that yes. So that means you can't do whatever the other thing is all the time. So let's just be smart about those decisions and know what reasons are worthy to push us in which direction. So that's it. Say yes. That's the Foul Tip of the Week. You've been listening to Believe in Softball, part of Believe Network and presented by BetOnline. The show is available anywhere you get your podcasts, wherever you listen, including Believe.com and YouTube too. Subscribe to the show, rate the show if you liked it, write a review for it. Follow us on Twitter/X and Instagram at Believe in Softball. Again, that's BLEAV. You can also reach out to me personally on Twitter at JennaBecerra01 and Instagram at JennaBecerra as well. As always, thank you for tuning in and catch you soon.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Cam found out that group chats between different phones aren't private.
Or encrypted,
thank you. We only text in code.
Yes, which I created. I created a code.
Yes. Which can be a little annoying.
Wait, was that your attempt at the code?
You already forgot the code, didn't you?
I should have written it down.
The place to safely send messages between different devices. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hear that? That's what cooked when you order juicy beef sounds like. The steaming hug of two slices of melted cheese, the crunch of tangy pickles and sliced onions, all topped with a toasted sesame seed bun. That's the sound of a McDonald's Quarter Pounder with cheese.
Fresh beef at participating U.S. McDonald's. Excludes Alaska, Hawaii, and U.S. territories.